Joining us now on the line is a very good friend of the program. And
wait a minute on that one.
Well, he's also becoming a very good golfer.
Yes, he is.
We might have to call him the best golfer of this threesome here on the show. Definitely of me, I know that for sure. But it might be neck and neck now with you, Pat.
He's taking my money every time we played this
year. Scary to say. It is time for our golf, business, and law segment brought to you by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. I, of course, am not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. But Rick Haro is a lawyer. He's also the sports professor, and he joins us now. Rick, good morning to you. Happy Sunday.
Well, happy Sunday, and of course, you know, you and I had it last week. We had fun, and then Rooney and I went out for two holes, and the heavens opened up. So it was, hey, what about that rain, Pat, that day? I mean, it was like 4 inches of rain. It rained all day that day.
I said, when was the last time it rained here? It has to be at least 3 months, and I picked the one afternoon to go out there, and we spent more time in the cart barn watching the rain pour down than doing anything else.
When you see the little furry animals go two by two into a boat, then you know you're in real trouble.
You know you're not getting the rest of the round.
But by the way, before we start, I want you to know that it's really I'm excited. I'm at Disney today, and I know this is a little bit of a shameless plug, but Pop Warner Football has a little scholars program where they give away $500,000 in scholarships to 5th to 8th grade cheerleaders and football players. They had an award called the Golden Football Award, and I got it last night because of this Operation Field Rescue deal we did in Philly and on Fox TV, and it was great to give a speech in front of 2,000 screaming kids. It was kind of a lot of fun.
Are you saying that seriously, or is the tongue firmly in cheek?
No. Actually, 80% of that, as always, was serious. You've got to figure out which 20% is not. It's all serious stuff. The kids were actually listening. And the other award recipients for different categories were Wes Welker and Josh Cribbs, Troy Vincent. We had a big Dolphin connection there last night, and so it was kind of fun to talk to Wes Welker, by the way, who is smaller than Russ. Talk about how small he is. And
he's, I don't know what that means. Russ is like Russ.
And to catch, well, he is, believe it. And the fact is that he might catch all those passes over the middle. And boy, if you don't need confirmation, how happy was he to get out of Miami and be in New England?
Taking shots off the bat from Rick. Yes, I am the shortest of the threesome here. There's no doubt about that. I don't know about the smallest.
Yeah, but this is a golf show. Sorry about that.
But Rick, congratulations on your award. How about that? Two former Dolphins, Troy Vincent and Wes Welker, and the self-acclaimed biggest Dolphins fan in the world, Rick Haro, co-mingling there.
Colliding,
in Disney World. My only question is, speaking of former football players, was your good buddy Vince Papale, the former Philadelphia Eagle, up there with you? Because I know he did that program with you.
He did the program with me. He wasn't there, but the Eagles got the award for the team with a lot more community service than everybody else. It's a difficult award because the NFL puts so much stock in this, as all sports do, to segue back to golf and otherwise. So, giving back to charity is a big deal, and that's what last night was all about.
All right, well, let's talk about some other events in the world. And first of all, Olympic golf. We've been talking about this for a while. There's a very good chance that the 2016 Olympics has golf as one of their sports. There's also a very good chance that those Olympic Games will be held in the United States in Chicago. And this week, PGA Tour Commissioner Tim Fincham headed for London, along with USGA Executive Director David Fay and LPGA Tour Commissioner Carolyn Bivens. They were there to join R&A Chief Executive Peter Dawson and European Tour Chief George O'Grady. So five big-time personalities in the world of golf coming together to meet with the International Olympic Committee, the IOC. This is the first step towards bringing golf back to the Olympics. Rick, this is looking like it might become a reality.
Well, the Olympic process is so cumbersome and bureaucratic that you can never be sure, even if it makes a lot of sense. Who would have thought that softball and baseball would be chopped out of the Olympics? Because it doesn't take, by the way, just the Western countries to support something. If an African bloc or if a Far Eastern bloc doesn't like you or your sport, you're in trouble. It's like United Nations, like anything else is. But, they're taking the right step on this one. It's not just an American presentation. It's also, as you said, O'Grady and Dawson. But they will also add under this the Far Eastern and Pan-Asian organizations. So the real key to selling this as an Olympic sport is to make sure people understand that whether Chicago wins the bid in 16 or others, this goes way beyond just the U.S. or Britain, for that matter.
Rick, you mentioned that a lot of this stuff, I guess, is political. It depends on the type of sport and those types of things. But TV doesn't seem to be driving this bus as much as it does, like here in the United States with sports and things like that. Is TV becoming, because my guess is that TV would not want to have taekwondo or curling or things like that in the Olympics because they're not going to televise most of that
stuff. Speak for yourself, Pat. I'm a big curling fan.
I know you are, but I mean, you're a rarity. But what I'm saying is, how much influence does TV have in what sports get in the Olympics?
Any sport where you can drink and slide down the ice is a good sport for Pat Rooney, I can tell you that.
Yes,
right.
That's me, but what about TV?
Exactly. That is absolutely your philosophy. But here's the thing about that for everybody. The networks really want to cover sports that are the ones they could televise in the Olympics that have to be television friendly. But let's remember, in a 2-week Olympic event, you don't know what the format's going to be. It'll be a golf tournament sandwiched in the normal tour, and most people think it'll be a 4-day tournament. We've talked about that before. It'll help ratings, but again, it'll help ratings domestically, and it'll help ratings in the England time zones and the 3 in the U.S. But again, we're not just appealing to that. It helps with sponsors. If they step up and say they want to do this, that's a really good thing, too. So we'll just have to see.
The sports professor Rick Haro joining us here on the line. It's, of course, time for our golf business and law segment. Brought to you by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I am not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. Pat Rooney Jr. is a former attorney as well, so I'm the only non-lawyer here.
Former? Wait, don't you still call yourself an attorney?
I've resigned my position as an attorney.
Yeah, and most people have resigned their position of hearing from you, too. So it's a mutual kind of thing.
Rick, Lorena Ochoa was docked $25,000 this week. She's paying that fine for skipping the Corning Classic because the LPGA has the 1-in-4 rule, meaning players must compete in every full field LPGA event on the schedule at least once every 4 years. The last time Ochoa teed it up at the Corning was 2004. Is this a good rule?
It depends on who you're chopping. I mean, it's a good rule because you pretty much guarantee that the top players are going to play once a month. It's not a good rule if the players flaunt it and end up being fined for it. Just remember, that $25,000 fine can be viewed as a cost of doing business. And frankly, if it comes to paying a fine, you've lost a battle already, because on the men's side, Tiger and Tim Fincham have had their disagreements, but they always have a lot of discussions about, what's best for you, Tiger, and they always do it out of the limelight, because in theory, you're not supposed to have the tour structure to be catered for your top people, but that really does happen.
Rick, I'm just curious, where do these fines go? Do they go to a charity of the choice of the player? Do they go to some fund that is a charitable write-off within the organization? I'm not just talking about the LPGA, like when an NFL player gets fined or whatever. Where does that money go, and is it a charitable write-off for the player?
No, the answer is it's not a charitable write-off for the player, because a fine is supposed to be punitive and is supposed to penalize, and even though $25,000 is a drop in the bucket, you're not supposed to be able to write it off. But the bottom line is that in many different sports, they have different purposes. Some have a fund that pays for a direct contribution from the league to the charity, regardless of whether the player wants it to go there or not. Some will say, all right, this is a symbolic fine, now go send it to your charity and we'll do it for you on your behalf, and anything in between. So there's no hard and fast rule.
Well, speaking of charity, Rick, the Masters tournament announced Augusta National is giving $3.4 million to charities this year. And the interesting part of this story is that the club's employees had a small role deciding where some of those donations were directed. Under a new program, each employee at Augusta National was allowed to designate $1,000 of that $3.4 million to a charity of their choice as part of the $1.25 million Augusta National donated to the Community Foundation for the CSRA. That's pretty cool. Billy Payne, in just a couple of years at the helm at Augusta National, is really becoming very innovative. There's so many things that he should be commended for, and this is one of them.
This is one of them. The televising of the Wednesday Pro-Am and practice round is another one. Keeping the sandwiches a bucket and a quarter is another one. Letting the kids in free if they're accompanied by a badge-carrying adult is another one. So slowly but surely, Billy Payne is putting his stamp on the populist aspect of Augusta National. It's not going to be a complete deal, but it is a step in the right direction.
Yes, but how close are we to getting a woman member there, especially after Jack Nicklaus said, I think recently,
have a woman member, yes.
Well, the last thing you do at Augusta National to have something done is to tell the committee that you want it done. This is the kind of thing where it happens quietly, and you end up having somebody who is a captain of industry, who also happens to be a woman, and more important, who fits in with the existing membership. Let's just leave it at that.
Interesting. Mm. We'll just wait and see what happens there. I can imagine possibly a Carolyn Bivens, or maybe even the lady, her name escapes me, the woman that's in Bush's cabinet that plays a lot of golf.
Condoleezza Rice.
Well, it could be a combination of Fuzzy's wife, Gary McCord's wife, and the all-time Masters All-Stars. Husbands are probably banned from playing or commenting. Maybe the wives are available.
So they have two possible directions to go in, slapstick or serious.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to humor everybody. Billy Payne is great at getting what he does done because he doesn't overstep. And he moves slowly but in the right direction, and this may be one of those things.
He is the sports professor, Rick Haro. He joins us each and every week here on Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, during our Golf Business and Law segment, brought to you by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I am not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. He's going to be heading out to Europe in a couple of days, and he's got the brand new sticks to show for it. Went over and saw our good buddy Larry Sugarman at the Palm Beach Golf Center, hooked him up with a brand new set of clubs, that nice Dolphins bag, and it's already paying dividends, because after a 7 over par 43 on Tuesday at Deer Creek in Deerfield, he authored an even par 36 on the back nine.
A Phil Mickelson-like.
To card a 79.
That's amazing. That's correct.
Nice job, Rick.
You know what, Evans, you know this, that I don't think I was given many putts, maybe one. Now,
Pat,
my normal 5 foot good range works. But when you're at the 36 cusp, you don't want to do that, because you don't want the asterisk.
Rick, I'll tell you, I told Pat, he asked me, that was the first question he asked me.
Yeah,
I said, probably the longest putt I gave him, or he gave himself, was 5 or 6 feet. That was the longest. So
he gave himself. Remember, that was very important to me. I'm turning over a new leaf. Nah, for one round, maybe. Hey, so next week, I think we're going to be able to do this, and I think I'll be live from the old course as we speak.
Ooh.
How's that?
At St. Andrews. That'll be a lot of fun. Rick, safe travels to you. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right. See you next Sunday. Thanks.
There he is, Rick Haro, the sports professor, joining us on the line during our Golf Business and Law segment, brought to you by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I am not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins.